Put on your caveman blue because it's time for the Caveman Corner, where we talk football with the young men and their coaches who carry their colors onto the gridiron every Friday night. It's all brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza. Now let's head to the Beacon Drive Abby's with Chuck Benson.
Welcome to Abby's Pizza here. We're at the Beacon Drive location. Of course, out on the Williams Highway. Beacon there, also whole court over there with some great pizza. Now, if you want to talk great pizza, we're talking that September special here with that bacon, and cheddar pizza. It's on sale. The big one's going to feed a lot of football players. $26.99 for that. Get some spuds to go with it, too. That's what we have here sitting in front of us. They just now served us as we get ready to talk football tonight. Grants Pass Caveman Football and welcoming their quarterback coach, Riley Barrett. Riley, welcome to the microphones of KJ. Glad to have you here with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, last time you've done this before, but as a player, how long ago was that?
I did. That would have been 2012, I think.
Yeah, we were at a different pizza place then.
Yeah, the Bistro. It was that Italian spot.
Right. Yeah. That was up on Northwest 6th Street. Yep. Well, glad to have you here as a quarterback's coach. Tell me about the evolution to get you from there to here, just real briefly.
Well, you know, playing for as long as you can was the goal. Mm-hmm. And I actually had that conversation with many coaches that, I had been coached by and that were mentors of mine. Of how do you transition from player to coach? How does that, you know, the mentality doesn't really leave, the competition mentality doesn't leave. How do you transition to be, you know, no longer playing, just coaching? How do you teach the things that you've been taught? How do you, you know, get that message across?
All right. Welcome here. And did you do something wrong in order for Brad Page to designate this for you tonight? Or did he throw you under the bus?
I missed a meeting and received a text that said that I'm the next guest.
And here you are. Coach Page said he had a personal conflict tonight.
Okay.
So kudos to Coach Page. Tell me about last Friday night. Pretty good night for Grants Pass Caveman. Yep. Big win. Well, the first win of the season, always a big win. Mm-hmm. What did that do for the team?
The mentality of knowing that we can go in there and beat somebody at home in front of our home crowd, it helps boost spirits. It helps get the community back to us, involved in shows that Caveman football can go and win. And the whole point of this season is to win and to kind of send a message to the rest of the state, really, that we're no slouch, that we can play with anybody. And that was... that was the message we wanted to send on Friday.
Really dominated the McNary Celtics coming in. Was that the plan? Was it to be aggressive right away and take control of the football game coming in?
Absolutely, yeah. It's kind of our game plan every time. We want to, from what I understand in the years past, has been slow starting. So that's kind of a big point of emphasis, is to come out hot, get momentum early, and then continue through the game and you know, holding that momentum.
How, as a coach, do you change that momentum from that slow start? Is there more emphasis in a pregame, in the warm-ups, and what's happening in the locker room? How's that approached?
Yeah, you know, I can't speak from being new this year to comparing to last year, but I think that the coaches that were around last year and Coach Page change some things up, whether it be practices and sort of, you know, the order of operations of how those functions work. And I see it working. We do come out a lot, you know, with a lot more speed, a lot more just tenacity from the start. And so whatever they change from last year to this year is working.
It's working so far. All right. Was there a specific game plan to come out, throw those passes early, get that first score? And how about the defense on that side also?
Yeah, I think with our offense, scoring is really not an issue. I mean, we're going to play some good teams, but I think we can score on anybody. We have an explosive offense. So for my side of the ball, defense, and with my corners, if we can get the ball back to our offense, we know we're in good position. So it's all about stopping the other team's offense, but also getting turnovers. And so if we can get the ball back to our offense, we know we're going to get a leg up on the opponent.
I see a lot of tempo on the part of the Grants Pass Caveman this year. Yep. And I'm assuming that's part of the plan for that explosive offense that you have. Yep. But you run into a team like North Medford, mm-hmm. Who used that tempo against you because they would slow the game way down.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
You just got to keep fighting. There's, you know, things that can happen in a game that are out of your control, and you just got to keep on fighting. Our goal is to push the tempo, and so that's what we keep doing. We can't let other teams kind of control it too much, but there's things that are out of our control that we just got to keep on pushing. And,
the McNary Celtics, of course, struggling this year, long losing streak, and we expect them to come back because they've been powerhouses in the past.
Sure.
And I'm sure as a player you can remember some of that.
Oh, yeah.
At any rate, did they have any surprises for you, or were you ready for anything they threw at you?
I think we were pretty ready for them. I didn't see any surprises. They kind of had a small team as far as numbers. So when it came to going in and hitting hard and getting them kind of already on their heels, they didn't have a lot of numbers to throw at us as far as rotations and different stuff. So those guys got tired. That's also where the tempo comes in. When they have a small team, they don't have a lot of substitutions. They get tired. So we put them on that, and we make them, you know, see how good their cardio is. And if they don't have substitutions, then it just gasses them, and that's where we put our foot on the throttle even more.
For a team to have a tempo like the Cavemen have shown this year, you've got to almost practice at that tempo. Is that tough to do, particularly in the fall heat that we've had going on around here?
It can be, but we did an acclimation period. We've been practicing through the summer in the heat. It's nothing new here to Southern Oregon now, so it's something you just got to get used to. And obviously there's things to help with that, whether, you know, certain hydration methods and you know, conditioning methods. You can't go in there and kill your team, but you also got to get them acclimated because everybody else has to play in it, so you want to be used to it.
Was there any aspect of last Friday night's game that gave the Cavemen any problems in terms of the McGarry Celtics? They throw anything at you that you weren't expecting?
Not really.
Surprised? Not really?
Not really, no. They did exactly what we thought they were going to do, and by the time we had gotten enough points on the board, we got in, you know, a bunch of our guys, a bunch of seniors to play, and you get ahead that much, it's hard to keep going. So there's certain things that, you know, they end up scoring on us a little bit. So we needed to button that up. But when you're up that high, it's hard to.
That was my very next question.
People.
When you get up to the point where you guys were with a running clock, already. How do you keep the focus? And obviously, right. You lose a little bit of that intensity.
Right. But you got to keep the kids grounded and know that anything's possible. I mean, you've seen big comebacks before in all kinds of levels of football, whether it's high school to the NFL. So anything's possible. You don't want to give any momentum back to a team. But you also don't want to, keep players in for unnecessary injury or freak accidents to happen. So that's where the balance comes of how far ahead are we? Can we comfortably take out some of our main weapons and still finish out this game? I think it's a hard one because you want to score as many points. You want to, you know, put an emphasis on it. But you also have to take some of that pride back and put in some of our younger players that need that experience, need, you know, that exposure to what Friday Night Lights is. And even if mistakes happen, it's actually a good thing. It's a learning point as long as we still get the win.
With a big score of 49-9, there are people out there who would say, why didn't you pull back earlier rather than going for the 49 points? But that kind of sends a message out to the rest of the conference because we saw some other big scores around the conference last Friday.
Yeah, I mean, people can say what they want, but we're here to send a message that we're a good football program, and we're, you know, we're losing 6-8 teams going this way, so we are going to keep fighting back, and we want to prove a point that we can play with anybody. Doesn't matter what part of the state they come from, we're going to fight you, and if it means proving a point with points scored, then that's what we're going to do. I think Brad Page does a good job of making sure that message is received.
I'm sure that's the case. How many players did you really get to play in the game, and did you discover any gems there? Did anybody gain some more playing time?
So are you talking about younger kids coming
in? Right. Yeah. Who would have ordinarily played if it was a close game?
I mean, you have some of the younger kids, which we do have a younger squad. We have a lot of sophomores that are playing and starting and main weapons. But you just really try and rotate kids in so they can get some experience on the field, but also at that home crowd, getting that good feeling of a victory. It was homecoming. You want to get in all your seniors. You want to get in some of these kids that have been working hard and deserve that playing time. So especially that many points ahead, it's it's a good position to get people in.
Well, the crowd loved it in the second half. Yeah. I know the visitor, the uncovered side had the wave going on
for
a little while.
Yep.
Haven't seen that in a while
at
Matt Langram Field. Now, you mentioned your young team. It is a young team, and the coach has given me access to your two deep, and I was going over that today.
Sure.
Your two deep roster. And so we've got offense and defense, 11 on each side, first and second. So that's 44 players.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter of those are sophomores.
Right.
So you do have a young team. How is that impacting the team? Obviously, you're 1-2 right now. You're trying to send a message. But you've got an awfully a lot of youth out there.
Yes. Yeah. What it is, in my perspective as a coach and maybe, you know, for the community, is that Grants Pass Caveman football is going to be very good moving forward. We're going to have a quarter of the team coming back. I mean, all these guys are going to be coming back. That means they've got two more years of caveman football, and that means they're going to have that many more years of experience at varsity level against some good players. Building blocks, we have a great freshman size team. We have some great players down there. So moving forward, caveman football is looking really good. For our team this year, we have a great group of seniors. We have a great group of seniors that lead this team, and the sophomores are learning from them. I think that's super positive for the future, but leaning on these seniors to really lead and take this team as far as we can take it this year.
We've talked with both Coach Page about this and some other players, too, and some other people who are close to the program saying there seems to be a different attitude, a different camaraderie on this year's team. And as a former player not that long ago, and now on from a coaching aspect, what is that intangible, that camaraderie, that brotherhood? Why is this team a little bit different? Is it those seniors?
I would say a huge part of it is the seniors. They have something to prove themselves. And now having a backing of a coaching staff that is helping them prove that point and send that message, this group of seniors is fighting like absolute warriors every single practice, every single game. And we've seen it before in caveman football, so it's good to see that come back.
Yeah, no doubt. As a coaching staff, how do you handle that? Do you encourage that? How do you encourage that, I think is the right word I'm looking for. How do you cultivate that?
It's instilling confidence in our players. They need to know that they're good athletes. You know, just because we're from Southern Oregon, Grants Pass, smaller towns compared to other teams, you got good football down here. You have good athletes all across the board. So understanding that, making sure they know that, but also you know, working with them to just keep sharpening their tools.
All right, just falling off in the background,
no
folks.
Worries.
And I had it turned down, too. Do you believe that? It never fails. At any rate, we're talking about your coaching staff here. Has that started with head coach Page? I know he's this is his third year, and he's really cultivated and brought in. We see a little bit different coaching change every year. What's the attitude of the coaching staff here?
It's very positive. I mean, everyone believes in the system that we have in, and what our goal is collectively is all the same. Just we're focusing one team at a time, one week at a time. Obviously, we know our schedule and we know what's ahead, but not looking too far ahead and just trying to do what we can to beat each team that's ahead of us each that one week.
Okay, well, we'll be looking ahead here in just a moment. We want to take just a little break here from the Caveman Corner. We'll pause. We'll get a mouthful of pizza, and we'll be right back after this one-minute Caveman timeout.
Looking for a local, trusted security company? Rogue Valley Security specializes in security camera installation, 24/7 alarm monitoring, Starlink installation, internet extensions, access door systems, low-voltage cabling, and more. Protect your home or business with the best in the industry. Call today and talk to a real person who understands your needs. 541-660-3242 or stop by 214 Southeast 8th Street in Grants Pass. Free estimates and a variety of options to suit you. Rogue Valley Security, your safety is their priority.
Thank you for trusting Abby's Legendary Pizza for 60 years. Your hard-earned money supports hundreds of youth working at our parlors, dozens and dozens of nonprofits and school teams throughout the area. At Abby's, doing good in the neighborhood has never tasted so delicious. Can you smell it? It's not arugula and pear. It's bacon, bacon and cheddar. Yep, everybody's favorite pizza is back on sale this month at Abby's, loaded with two kinds of bacon and real cheddar cheese. Enjoy Abby's September special at a very special price.
$6. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Caveman Corner, coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abby's Pizza tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're stirring about what's left of one of those big, huge bacon and cheddar pizzas here, $26.99 tonight. Listen, wear your caveman gear. You come here, your soft drink is free with an order. So come on out and join us. We'll be here until 7:30 tonight. Just a quick programming note, there will be no coaches show from the Oregon Ducks tonight. That usually follows this program immediately. They have a bye week, therefore no coaches show tonight. I figured the coaches would have a night off and be jumping at the bit. Anyway, we've got Riley Barrich, quarterbacks coach for the Grants Pass Caveman here. All right. Tell me about how you go about teaching a cornerback to do his job here.
Well, being a former player as a corner, you know, and being not the tallest guy at 5'9", and having to do the job myself in a different way against all kinds of different sizes of athletes and different speeds, I try and teach them sort of what worked for me, because a lot of them, as you can see, a lot of them are my build, my size. So you kind of got to play it
if
different.
If you're an NCIS watcher, he just delivered a hit to the back of the head for a young man here. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay, yeah. So, you know, working with them each on their individual skill sets and their builds and what their strengths are, you got to hone in on that. You can't teach it one way, in my opinion. And then, as with any sport, a lot of kids will watch, you know, the higher level. And when you start watching the NFL, some of those guys have terrible fundamentals, but they're freak athletes, so they can get away with it. So, you know, for a kid to mimic that is actually doom for their play. So fundamentals need to be sharpened in a different way for each athlete, and they need to be practiced thoroughly. I mean, fundamentals are huge for a corner position.
Should be going without saying, fundamentals top to bottom here.
Yeah.
Well, what do you look for in a young player that tells you this kid could do the job that I need him to do?
First off is mentality, because in the position of corner, if you get beat, it's oftentimes for a touchdown, and everyone sees it. You're going to get beat. It's going to happen, and you need to be able to brush that off and get back and play the next play and make more positives than you do negatives. So mentality. If a kid is getting down on themselves too much, they're too hard on themselves, it's not a good position, because you'll get in a downward spiral like a snowball and just...
Any way to pull a youngster out of that?
Yeah, kind of. It's instilling confidence, kind of like I said when you talk about these kids.
It's not something you do overnight.
No, it's not something you do overnight. And then I don't believe on getting on a kid too bad. Obviously, there's times as a coach, you got to get on a kid. You got to fix some things. You got to let them know that it's serious, the mistakes they make and why they're serious. But if you crush their morale, they're just going to crumble. So keeping them positive, letting them know, hey, it's not the end of the world. Now go out there and you know, get one back for us, or fix this, tweak that. Keeping them positive, because it can be a tough position. I know it. I played it, and it takes a mentality of brush off any negatives, but also you gotta want to be in that spot. You gotta want to be able to deal with the pressure to succeed at that position. It's probably one of the hardest positions in football, because like I said, you make a mistake, everyone sees it, and it's a lot of times, if it's a missed pass or a missed tackle, they're going house, and everyone sees that one person make a mistake versus the whole team in whatever situation.
What do you look for? The speed, quickness, or strength, or all three?
You definitely need speed. The quickness can come. I mean, both of those go hand in hand. Honestly, quickness is probably more valuable than speed. But it's a different kind of athleticism. It's, you got to have football smarts, whether you know it or not. How they react to football plays. You can see it in certain kids. Sometimes you'll watch a kid see a play, and then their mind is generating, you know, they're seeing it, and then they're trying to tell their body to go and do what they're seeing. some kids just react, and it's just an instinct almost. So trying to find the kids with that, and you can kind of work on it a little bit, but sometimes it's just a natural instinct, and you got to work off of that.
So there's a mental aspect, and I imagine that goes with vision, too. How big does vision really play into it?
Oh, it's huge. You got to be able to see everything, basically. You got to be able to zero in down to one player in man coverage, and then be able to see the whole field in zone coverage. And it is. It's serious. A lot goes into that position.
And then react to what you see.
Quickly, yeah. Yep.
All right. You sound like you really enjoy it.
I do. This year was going to be a big stepping stone for me as far as, like I said, still player mentality, coming in and not knowing if I had the tools and the skill sets to teach and to coach. But I'm glad I did it.
Okay. What have you learned?
Well, I've learned...
Put you on the spot, Coach.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I've learned a lot about football by being with this coaching staff. There are some guys that know the game in and out, and it's checked me a little bit like, oh, wow, I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. I know how to be a player for sure, but these guys dissect the game play by play, you know, little marks on the huddle film, just ding, 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 breaking it down by all these different ways to break it down, and some of those guys are on film hours and hours and hours. So if anything, I've learned that kind of mental part of the game and actual studying is massive, especially for a coach.
And your new coach this year, obviously. So when did you really join the staff? Was it after last season? Was it last January? Did you come on in the spring? Tell me about your experience.
It was right about, I would say, early summer I started getting involved because I didn't know if my schedule was going to allow it. Mm-hmm. And they had brought me in, and actually, I want to say early summer, I was involved in some of the stuff. Now, I've been involved with a lot of these kids in the weight room in a different way, in one of our gyms that we have access to. So I've been training and working with these kids in athletic and strength and conditioning type stuff, but not coaching. So coming into summer, I went to some of the 7-on-7 stuff and traveled with the team a little bit for that, and was just getting a feel for it and seeing what that schedule would look like with my day-to-day. And then I pulled the trigger, mid to late summer to join and be ready to show up to practices and commit to doing that for the season.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get back to some other football here. We appreciate your sharing with us tonight. First of all, let's put this last game behind us, a 49-9 win over the McNary Celtics. Any injuries come out of that game?
We did have one of our defensive ends, Wyatt Peterson, and he's got something with his knee that he's going to get checked out, and we should have some information on that, but I don't think he'll be ready to go for this game.
I don't think I saw him in the two deeps.
That was
a big miss.
He's huge. He's got a motor like crazy, and he's a good player, big physical guy. So that's going to
intelligent
hurt.
Too. We've had him here.
So that's a big one. And so that's kind of what I was talking about with the McNary game, and it's freak stuff happens. No one plans for any of that. But that's where you go, dang, okay. Move some kids around so that way we don't have this happen.
All right, McNary's in the past.
Yeah.
Now, what lies ahead is North Salem, the Vikings. Yep. Let's see. They've scored 12 points in two games. They've allowed 56 points. They're actually ranked lower than McNary in the statewide or in the OSAA rankings. So are we looking at another shootout here, another 49-9 game? Or they're on their home turf, and they're going to be angry, aren't they?
Sure, yeah. We got to treat every team like they can beat us because anything can happen. And the goal, like I said, is to send a message, and I'm confident that Coach Page has a plan for scoring is not going to be an issue. I doubt that just because they're so prepared. Now, defensively, for our defense, they do have weapons. They're fast on offense. They've got some guys that can score. They can score a lot of points if they get things figured out. So our whole goal is to stop, keep them from getting points on us. Like I said, we want to get turnovers. We want to get the ball back in our offense's hands. What they like to do is go outside. They don't run anything, barely inside. So if we can keep an edge, keep everything funneled inside, and then corral that quarterback so he can't run around and extend plays. They've got some fast guys, and if he extends the play, they'll be downfield, and we're in a mess. So we've got a plan for that.
That seemed to be one hole that we saw with the McNary game.
Right.
In terms of containment, anytime their quarterback scrambled and got outside the containment, he was dangerous.
Yeah, he was very fast.
And we saw that. So is that something that the team has been working on this week?
Yeah. We know that that's kind of something that we struggled with. And, this quarterback is probably even a little bit faster and more athletic. So it's something we can't allow. We got to be patient up front. Keep him trapped. Make him throw the ball. That's the whole goal. Make him throw the ball to beat us.
All right, that's the key right now. How much time, you mentioned a lot of the guys put in hours and hours on film.
Yeah.
How much film have you put in on this game?
I put in a good amount, obviously. For me, I have my own business, so there's stuff that I end up not getting to watch as much. These guys watch crazy amounts. Trying to compete with them, I don't think I'll ever be able to beat them. But enough to know who their players are, what they're trying to do. It's a fairly simple offense, what they do and what their goals are. They're trying to isolate one big wide receiver on offense, and like I said, get outside the edge when they run. So when it comes to that, our plan is to make sure that that one receiver is shut down, see if they can beat us with the other guys, and I don't think they can.
All right, so what I'm hearing is, well, what do you expect from your corners? What's your challenge for your corners coming into this game?
Well, there's a lot of man coverage, and so that's always something that's a challenge, is one-on-one. It's you versus the other guy. And like I said kind of before, was that's where if you get beat, it's everyone sees it. It's for a touchdown. Take a big breath. These guys can run with anybody. They just need to know when to turn and run and break. We've got that figured out as far as their route concepts and what they like to run. Now it's just being confident in everything we worked on. I expect some turnovers this game. I think if we can get some turnovers from my guys specifically, anybody on the team really, but my guys, I do see them making plays that take away momentum from the other team, give us the ball back, and like I've been saying, our offense, I don't doubt, can score against this team. So
we're looking to create some turnovers, yep. Create some fumbles, intercept some passes, and your guys should be right in the middle of that.
Yep.
Okay, well, we'll be watching for that.
Yep.
What about the line of scrimmage? That always seems to determine who's going to win. Do you have a feel for how we stack up there, how we match up with the Vikings?
Yeah, I mean, we have a big, aggressive front. Where offensively, it hasn't been a huge issue for us. I think we stack up better than against the Salem.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, we have a massive front. It hurts having Wyatt missing, but some of those guys are aggressive, violent human beings, and they go in there and just stir things up. So this quarterback's going to have to run. He's going to be chased around by these guys, and if they can corral him, then he's going to have to throw it, and we'll see how that goes.
All right. That seems to we've talked about our offensive line, our defensive line, and about getting after the quarterback, and we've gotten after the quarterback. We don't have very many sacks, though.
Right.
So is it going to be an emphasis this time?
I think so. I think that's kind of something that these guys are going to take some pride in. They want to, some of these stats are coming out for the state. Once kids start seeing that and they go, I want to climb that list. I want to be on this list. Those numbers are going to start coming up. But our team motto is one. And so, realistically, all the stats in the world are great, but winning the game as a team collectively is the goal.
So the team goal is one?
One. One team, one family, one group, one goal, and that's to win.
Okay. All right. Well, certainly a worthy goal. To win as one is a worthy goal, and it looks like this team has been able to do it. And as a coaching staff, you've led the way, so kudos there to you and your cohorts as they lead this team. We're getting right up to close to the top of the hour news coming up here momentarily, but what one thing do we need to have happen in order to come away with a victory on Friday night?
We have to be fundamentally sound.
Fundamentally sound. You've been talking fundamentals from the outset.
It's huge.
Right. When do we start putting those fundamentals in? Because I know some of these youngsters have been playing since, first year in middle school.
Right. It's ingrained in you early in you know, when you start playing football. But some of these guys haven't played. It's, you know, maybe this is their first year coming into high school that they've ever played. Every kid has a different level of understanding of that. And football, the sport, is growing and growing, and you learn new things, and you go to coaches' clinics and different stuff like that. Or, you know, with the internet and social media, you can look and find stuff anywhere.
All right.
You got to do it all season long.
Quarterback coach for the Cavemen, Riley Barrich. Thank you very much, Coach, and to all of you. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after news. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Caveman Corner here on KAJO Radio. Let's see. We've got a cool coach, Riley Barrich, brought in three pretty good football players for us here. Why don't you introduce these young men for us?
Sure, yeah. We've got my two starting corners, Hayden Chase and Zach DeShane, and then we have our nickel over there, Braden Reese.
Okay. Is he worth a nickel? I'm sorry. Every now and then something just pops out. It's being an old radio guy. Can't help that, as a matter of fact. Guys, welcome. First of all, general question. I'm going to go down the line here and just ask you, how did that 49-9 victory feel last Friday night? Let's start with Hayden. Hayden, how did it feel?
I think it felt pretty good just to get what we put in, basically.
Okay. Zach, how did it feel?
Felt great to be the first home game, show the whole town, basically, and we got to put everybody in, which is really cool for, like, a lot of seniors, because we have a lot of seniors this year, so it's great experience for homecoming.
All right, Brayden, what'd you think? Was it fun?
Yeah, it felt good to get a first win of the senior year. You know, being able to dominate a team like that in first home game felt pretty good.
Okay. Well, let's see how far it goes. Now, I'm going to start here with Hayden. Let me see. You're a starting corner?
Yeah.
Okay. How long have you been playing football?
I've been playing football since I've been, like, 5 years old.
Since 5 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in school now?
Yeah.
Senior. No, you're a senior.
Yeah.
Okay. So what have you seen in terms of transition in caveman football? From the time you first saw the guys in blue until this year?
Well, starting out freshman year, it's just been kind of an uphill battle because I feel like we've been a really young team, especially last year. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of talent, but we didn't really come together as a team. But this year that right now, we all came together and really made a strong bond.
What made that difference? Do you know? Can you point to something?
I think our seniors being able to lead and be able to make a more team-led or player-led team, being able to, you know.
Where did that originate?
I'm not really sure. I think coming in, being able to have a new couple of new coaches, being able to help that. I think our defense coordinator really helped. Just being able to put the defensive in line, and then Coach Riley, you know, getting the corners and safeties in line.
Hey, you got to say nice things. He's sitting at your left on your shoulder here. At any rate, okay. When you're not playing football, what do you do to have fun?
I mostly sleep, eat, and just do homework.
Eat, sleep, and do homework. Sounds like a high school kid to me. No fun in there at all, right?
Yeah, hanging out with friends, and okay. Then just more football.
Okay, when you hang out with friends, where do you hang? What do you hang for?
We mostly just...
Come on, tell your secrets.
We mostly just hang out and at the house and just watch movies, play the games, and just chill out.
All right. Tell me about school right now. You're a senior. You must have your whole life planned out in front of you.
Not really, but I'm starting to get into a pathway. I'm trying to go into finance to be an investment broker, to go basically manage people's stocks. So I'm going to go to business school, hopefully play somewhere for football, and be able to study business and finance at the same time.
So you're chasing the money.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a little greed. At any rate, do you have a place picked out to where you want to go yet?
No.
All right. Is there a place that you'd like to go?
Yeah, I'd like to go to either, like, George Fox, SOU, or, you know, anywhere.
All right. Southern Oregon University, pretty good football program there. I'm not sure about George Fox's. Are they a Division III school?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But high academics.
Yeah.
No doubt. Have you explored going there yet? Have you been on campus?
No, I'm going to campus on Saturday to watch a game. And I don't know. It seems like a really nice place. We went there for our camp as a football team. And I just like the atmosphere. It's pretty nice.
All right. So career in finance, I'm going to play some football somewhere along the way and come out and fix my IRA, would you? Yeah, I'll do that. Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Hayden. Zach DeShane. All right, Zach, tell me about your football experience. How long have you been playing football now?
I started football in, like, second grade, but I took my last year off. That was my junior year because my sophomore year, I ended the season with a pretty bad concussion, and I'm pretty big into basketball, so I took it off just to have that year for me.
All right. Well, probably not a bad idea. I'm assuming that you're cleared to play, obviously, for that concussion. What was that protocol like? Can you share any of that with us, or you just want to put it in the background?
At first, I had a pretty bad concussion. I wore glasses around. I was very sensitive to light, and I had to take a bunch of tests. And then I really, like, since we're still on computers all day, schoolwork was pretty hard for me. I had to talk to a lot of teachers. And then, like, football games were very difficult to go to because I just wanted to be out there with everybody, but I couldn't help in any way. And then going into basketball, I had to, like, it was, like, a really, like, close thing to tryouts for me. Like, I had to, like, take a whole week off of doing everything right before tryouts and then just spring into it without, like, practicing or anything.
So how are you doing now?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, that's good news. That's good. That's good news. And how's Mr. Verich as a coach?
I really like Verich. He connects with us a lot more than some of the other coaches. Why he's kind of younger, and okay. So he's still, like, the closest one to us.
He remembers. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. What have you learned this year as a cornerback, starting cornerback this Friday night?
I learned that if you're one step behind, then that whole play is broken. And at corner, you really can't make an error because it's seen by everybody. So you just have to have great technique and stay on top of everything.
What one asset do you bring to your position as a cornerback?
I'd say I'm very fast. And so I can fly around all over the place.
Yeah, okay. Well, we've seen you fly around and keep flying, no doubt. Now, tell me about school. What are you studying?
Right now I'm doing math. I'm a senior, and I want to go into finance. I want to be a financial manager after college and help, like, bigger businesses with their money situations.
Yeah, everybody's after the money. See how you kids are?
Yeah.
Golly. All right. Have you picked out a place to go yet, or where would you like to go? You're not going to follow this guy next to you, are you?
No. If something comes up with athletics, then I definitely want to go there. I've thought about Lynn Benton, because its sister school is Oregon State, and that's, if I don't do athletics, I would like to go to Oregon State for school.
All right. Anybody talk to you about athletics yet, either in football or basketball?
I've talked a little bit with basketball to, like, Lane Community College and littler places, but nothing big yet.
Nothing big yet. Okay. You got a senior season to go. You play any other sports?
Yeah, I play basketball, and that's it. Basketball and football.
Only a two-sport athlete here at the varsity level. All right. Thank you, Zach. All right, Brayden, tell me, you're the nickelback.
Yes,
what
sir.
Does a nickelback do?
Nickel is a hybrid linebacker safety position who rolls into the run game, is also a big pass defender.
All right. Which do you like best? Pass defending or?
Yeah.
Holding?
I don't know. Probably being a pass guy. I like picking the ball off if I catch it.
All right. Well, so you have good hands?
Most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
How long have you been playing football?
Probably since I was like 6 years old.
So everybody's here has been playing for a long, long time. Yeah. At what level were you playing here? What are we talking? Flag football? Where'd you start?
Played flag football probably from like first grade to fifth grade, and then I started tackle football in sixth grade.
Oh, okay. Have you always been nickelback or? You played some other positions.
No, I mean, I used to be a big chunky guy, so I was played defensive line in seventh grade, and then played some wide receiver last year and linebacker, but now I'm just focused on defense.
Big chunky guy? Yeah. You need to run around in the shower to get wet.
Yeah. So,
no, I'm teasing a little bit. How tall are you?
6 foot.
6 foot and weighs...
165.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Long-term plans?
After high school, I want to play baseball as long as possible and then get a good degree in school. You know.
Oh, you're a baseball player, too. Yeah. Any other sports other than football and baseball?
No, just baseball and football.
Tell me about baseball. What are you playing baseball?
First base, and I pitch, but, yeah, mostly just first. Yeah. A little bit of second.
A little bit, and a pitcher. Okay, how many pitches do you have? Numbers of pitches.
Four.
Four pitches?
Yes, sir.
Which is your best? What do you rely on when you need it?
Change up.
Really?
Yeah.
How fast is your fastball?
I don't know. I haven't been clocked in a minute.
Haven't been clocked? Okay. Okay. All right. So your change fastball is decent. So you got what? A curve and a slider?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which of those is best?
Curveball.
Really?
Yeah.
How long have you been throwing a curveball? How'd you learn to throw a curveball?
Probably been throwing it since 7th grade. I would say.
Really? That's pretty young to start throwing a curve.
Yeah, 7th, 8th grade, I would say, probably. Yeah, developed right. In 8th grade.
How's your stick?
I'd say that's probably one of my better parts of my game.
Really?
Yeah.
What makes it the better part of the game? Give me some numbers.
Numbers?
Yeah. Batting average? On-base percentage?
I don't know my batting average from last year. I mean, I was playing behind a lot of seniors, so I wasn't playing, like, the whole bunch. But I would make most of the opportunity when I was in.
All right. Power hitter, or you spray the ball around?
Spray the ball, mostly.
Okay. All right. Gentlemen, it's been fascinating getting to know you yet. We're not done yet, so everybody sit right here. But we're going to take just a little deep breath right now. We'll come right back. You're listening to the Caveman Corner, coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's Pizza. And we'll be back right after this 1 minute Caveman timeout.
A recent Clouser Drilling customer shares her experience.
This is Susan from Griffin Creek. And listen, if you need a new well, I want you to call Clouser Drilling right away. They were absolutely fantastic. Everything from locating the water to the drilling process itself. Their staff was top-notch, thorough, professional, on time, precise, friendly. Answered all my questions, and believe me, I had a lot of them. You won't regret it. Call Clouser Drilling.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change is still the one you can trust when it comes to all your vehicle maintenance. They provide oil change services as well as other services like serpentine belt replacement, transmission, and radiator service. Valvoline Instant Oil Change is your one stop for friendly, certified technicians and convenient drive-through service with no appointment necessary. They are still in that great and convenient location right next to Sea Casa Flores, the corner of the Parkway and F Street. Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
Welcome back. Abby's Pizza here. We're coming to you live and direct from the Beacon Drive Abbey's location. Come in, join us. That big pizza is for sale right now. That's at $26.99 for the bacon, and cheese pizza. And that's their September special here. And it'll feed a lot of people. I want to come back to Hayden. Because I didn't ask you if you played any other sports, Hayden.
Oh, yeah. I just do track other than football.
You just do track. What do you just do in track?
I do the 100-meter and javelin.
Oh, really? Okay. What's your best time?
It's not that good. It's like 12-2.
12-2. Okay. All right. Going to go back after it this spring and get it lower?
Yeah, definitely. I was a little chunky last season on a bulk.
You were a little chunky last season.
Chunky.
A little chunky. All right. Well, what are you? You're staying away from the pizza then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tell me about the javelin.
That's probably my best event in track. I've been varsity on it since sophomore year.
All right, best throw?
154.
154, okay. I'm impressed. What is the technique that you need to really accomplish, what you really need to perfect in order to be a good javelin thrower?
Probably having good hips. That's mostly what you need for the hip drive, to be able to get the javelin there. And... yeah, it's not really in the arm.
Either. It's from the lower part of the body?
Lower part of the body is where most power comes from, and that's what it gets up.
How do you train for that?
A lot of core workouts, a lot of leg days, yeah.
All right, Mr. Verich doesn't help you in the weight room, does he?
We started to at the end of summer, but no.
Oh, okay, all right. Now, a big game coming up this Friday night. You're on the road again. It's your second road game. Against a team that is probably on the same level as McNary. Do you have any specific assignments that have been given to you in order to accomplish a win this Friday night? What is your assignment? What do you need to do?
My assignment is to lock down the guy that's in front of me.
Okay. Any specific guy? Do you have numbers that you're going to be watching for?
Yeah, number 8 and 11.
Why number 8 and number 11?
Number 8 is a pretty fast guy. He's a little bit bigger, probably about 185, 6'2"-ish. And obviously I'm not the biggest, so, but my technique will get me through it.
Okay, how are you going to handle it?
I'll handle it like I handle every other receiver.
Okay, all right. Not going to give away any secrets, are we?
I'm not.
Okay, all right. Well, good luck with, what was it, number 11 and number...
Eight.
Number eight, okay. All right, let's move over to Zach. Zach, this Friday night, do you have the same numbers as him, number 11 and number eight, or are you guys going to trade off?
Those are their, like, main two receivers. Me and Hayden, kind of, it doesn't matter what side of the field we're on, field side or the short side. So we'll focus on them mainly, but we have to handle everybody the same. Everybody's a threat.
Okay. Are there other, those are the two main receivers that you guys are going to be watching?
Yes. There's more receivers, but not as big threats or targets, like, that they'll take a deep shot with. There's always a chance that they'll go with them, but we just know their biggest, like, targets go to those two, so we just need to pay close attention to them.
All right. Zach, I know that Hayden is smaller than one of those adversaries. And you're smaller than Hayden. You play big, but tell me how tall you are.
I'm about 5'9", weigh about 140. And so my biggest thing with them is I just try to be as physical as I can.
Okay. Well, how physical can you be? You play like you're 6 foot tall, right?
Yeah, in both sports. But with them, I really want to make a statement that, like, even being an undersized player, that I can still handle those type of guys. And so this is a big week to prove it.
All right, has Coach Burich given you any techniques on how to handle someone bigger than you are that way?
A little bit. He tries to coach off him because he's kind of a smaller gentleman himself. And so every week at practice, he's like, well, this is what I would do to get off blocks as an undersized corner, and so we just use what he uses as well.
Okay. Has it been effective so far?
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, okay. Well, it showed up. All right. Good luck. All right. Braden, what is your assignment on Friday night here? What do you have to do in order to come away with a win for the Cavemen?
Got to fly around, key off their dudes so we can overcome them as a team in total.
What keys do you watch in order to decide where you're going to go?
A lot of the formations they run, they have a wing attached, and that's who I key my reads off of if he down blocks, goes out for a pass, or etc.
Okay, so you're watching their blocking back? Or
yes, sir.
Yeah. And how do you react one way or the other? If he's going out for a pass, which way do you go?
I don't think it matters. I'll give that away. I don't think they're listening, but I'm a flat defender, so anything number three wide receiver, two wide receiver comes to the flat, that's my guy.
All right, so your job is to cover the flat.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, good luck there. Is there a particular technique that you're going to use, or what do you need to accomplish yourself in order to be successful on Friday night?
Yeah, I just got to stick to my technique and make sure I stay out of my own head and just make sure I'm flying around the field.
Stay out of your own head. You get in your way?
Yeah.
You get in your own way?
Yes, sir.
How do you deal with that? Can you clear it out?
Yeah, you just got to move on to the next play. I'd say if you mess up, there's no reason to pout about it or anything.
Focus seems to be this team's word this year. Focus. How do you maintain that focus, in particular when you're ahead 40-0 like last Friday night?
Yeah, I feel like as soon as the opening kickoff happens, I mean, all of us flip a switch and all of us are locked in our different ways, but I feel like these two sitting next to me, they fight for one another, and yeah, we're focused from the
they fight for one another and leave you alone.
Uh-huh.
You're out there by yourself.
Yeah,
no help. Okay. All right. I heard earlier from Coach Burich that this team's goal is to be one team.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations. It looks like we've accomplished that so far. There's a ways to go yet. Have you, Braden, have you set any particular goals for yourself, both this year in football and perhaps in baseball, either one?
Yeah, for football, I would like to get 3 or more interceptions, and then any type of conference honors would be nice. And then same with baseball. Any conference honors would be nice. And just a successful season for our team, being able to make a run in the playoffs or whatever happens with that.
How about team goals this year? Has a team set any goals for themselves?
I feel like biggest team goal is coming out to win conference and get in a playoff game. Is it 16 teams? Top 16 teams, playoff, yeah. Got to be top 16 team in the state, get a playoff game, and then that's one team goal and then go from there, second round, third round.
Okay, all right. Good luck. We hope all that happens, too.
Yeah.
We like those extra games. All right. Zach, how about you? Personal goal?
Personal goal is I would love to have a couple of interceptions on the season. I'd also have to like to have no missed open field tackles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a lofty goal, isn't it?
It definitely is, but if I set the goals high, then I'm going to keep trying to reach it instead of setting the bar a little lower and setting myself to a limit.
Okay. All right. A little conference going on there behind you. All right. We'll pull Hayden right back into it. Goal for yourself, both for this coming Friday night and for the season?
For this Friday night, I'd like to not give up any deep balls. I've been working on it all week. Deep balls is my main focus for this game on Friday. I think as a team goal, we really want to make it to the playoffs, make a playoff run, because I feel like we're all focused this season, and we're just one big team.
Okay, well, best of luck. Now, as I understand the playoffs, we've got, and Coach, if I miss here, let me know. We're talking about the top 12 teams go for the main championship, and then there's a 16-team one that follows it. So we need to be in the top 28 in order to get into those goals. But in order to do that, first of all, we like to have a home playoff game, guys.
Yes.
So is that part of the goal, too?
That is a very big goal.
All right. How many games do you have to win to get there? Have you a feel for it? Win a ball?
It would be nice to just win the rest of them, to be honest. I'm not sure how many we need to get a home playoff game, but I think we'll win quite a few more games.
All right. Why do you feel that way?
Just because it's a brotherhood out there, and I feel like on the field and the game, we all trust each other in the assignments, so we can all do our own assignments and be able to come up with a W.
Every time I ask a football player or a coach about the future, they say, we're just focused on the next game. But is there a game that you're looking forward to? Is there an opponent out there that you really want to face to get even with or say, here we are?
I'm really excited for two games, South Med and Sheldon.
South Med and Sheldon.
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
South Med, because that's just our rival.
Okay.
All the Medford school is really a rival. Sheldon, because we win that game, we put ourselves on notice, and that's how we know.
Okay. Well, best of luck. All right, gentlemen, play over that same scenario. Are there, Zach, is there a team out there that you want to beat? Really?
There's not a particular team I want to beat, but there's not a team I want to lose to.
Nicely put, nicely put. Okay. Braden, do you have a feel one way or for the other? Is there a team out there you're looking forward to really squaring off against and saying, here I am this year?
I would have to agree with Hayden and Zach on this, but I feel like South Med has definitely been circled on my calendar since the beginning.
Why South Med?
You know, I've been going against them like my whole life, and it's really been back and forth since I've been little. And, you know, being a senior, you always want to come out with the win, and that's really about all that matters is your senior year win.
Okay, well, they're certainly vulnerable this year, and you guys are serving notice here, and you always play well on the road, particularly when that road leads into Spiegelberg Stadium, because that's a fun one to go to, isn't it? All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. I want to wish you the very best of luck here. We'll be following you all the way. I want to tip our hats tonight to Hayden Chase, Zach DeShane, and Braden Reese. Gentlemen, good luck, and pass that along to your teammates, would you please?
Thank you. Thanks, Chuck.
All right, that's... we're not quite done with our Caveman Corner here tonight. I want to call in Coach Riley. Step right back in here again and tell me about these young men now. And just individually, you must be fairly proud of them.
I am, yes, I am. Specifically guys in my position, but Braden also. I get the whole feel of defense. I get to be around these guys. This senior group, we did a senior trip before the season. Me being a new coach, that was kind of my introduction to really get to know them outside of football, get some time together, learn their camaraderie, see how they interact with each other and who the leaders were that naturally stood out. And all three of these guys are kind of at the top of the list there.
All right. Well, Coach, I ask all of three of them. I'm going to ask you two. Is there one game out there that you've got circled there that you want to win really big?
No. The way I roll is I focus on the game in front. That's the how I was when I played. And who I want to be is North Salem. That's who I want to be.
All right. That's the focus right now. Certainly as it should be. Let's see. One more quick question. We just ran this down with the players here. Are we accurate? We want to be in the top 28 in the state, the top 12 if possible.
You know, I have to look back at that. I know they reorganized all those numbers. It's totally different from when I played.
Totally different from last year.
Yeah, couldn't tell you. We just want to be at the top of our conference, however we get there, and we'll take it from there.
All right, well, that's a lofty goal, and best of luck to there.
Sure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Caveman Corner here at KHAO Radio. We want to tip our hats to their cornerback coach, Riley Verich, joined us tonight for the second time. First time as a player back at the Bistro. Oh, golly, that's a long time ago. And, gentlemen, once again, Hayden Chase, Zach DeShane, and Braden Reese. Gentlemen, once again, good luck, and pass that along to your players. To all of you, normally there would be a coaches show from the Oregon Ducks tonight, but because they have a bye week this Saturday, no game this Saturday for the Ducks, so there's no coaches show tonight. So we'll just bow our heads and dip into the what's left of this pizza here and wish you all a very good night, and hope we see you on the road at North Salem High School this Friday night. This is KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
You have been listening to the Caveman Corner, brought to you by Abby's Legendary Pizza from their Beacon Drive location. You are invited every Wednesday night through football season to join us in the Caveman Corner.